Father, how grateful we are for every man standing right now. Thank you for the role that you have called them to as fathers, as dads, as men in this community, in their homes, to represent you, Lord. They are the heads of their households. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would come over them and empower them to be the father that you've called them to be. It is not an easy task, God. But as they look to you and as they seek your face and your will, God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, give them wisdom from above so they may lead their families, lead their children, God, to be that example of what a godly man means, to be a Christian. And so, God, we cannot do that apart from you. So I ask once again, fill them and baptize them with the Holy Spirit, that you would equip them for the task ahead of them. And God, encourage them. Perhaps something in their past has happened they're not happy with. Lord, I pray that you would forgive them and give them the courage and comfort to know that you work all things out for good. So we thank you for these men. May they continue to be an influence in not only in their homes, but in their communities. And we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, we are going to be in Luke chapter 8 this morning. So if you want to open your Bibles there, Luke chapter 8. And if you have need of a Bible, simply raise your hand. One will be handed to you. While those Bibles are being handed out and while you're turning to Luke chapter 8, I have a few announcements. I want to let you guys know that on July 4th, we had a Bible up here up front. Pastor RJ, one right up here. Thank you. July 4th, we're going to do a church picnic. The 4th of July falls on a Sunday this year, so we want to let everybody know we're going to do a picnic afterwards. We ask everybody to sign up on our website. Let us know that you're coming, and we would ask everybody to bring a dish to pass. The church will provide all the main dishes, so we want you to be a part of that. And we also thought while we were all here celebrating that we would also do a water baptism. There's probably a handful of kids or so in our church that want to get baptized. So very excited. Thought we would take this opportunity to get those kids baptized. But at the same time, if there's any adults that have never been baptized, I would highly encourage you to be obedient to what the scriptures say. God says that we must all be baptized, not for salvation, but just in obedience as we identify with what Christ has done for us. So it's going to be an opportunity for all to be baptized that need to be baptized. And I also encourage the entire church to be there to support those, because baptism is supposed to be an outward expression of an inward work that God has done. So we're looking forward to that. And then finally, we're going to do a VBS at the end of July. The dates are the 26th through the 30th. We've been mentioning this and announcing this for some time now, but if you have kids and you want to participate in that, please go to our church website, fill out the form there so we know how many kids we're going to be serving during that day. That's it in the way of announcements. And now, as we're in Luke chapter 8, once again, let's go to the Lord in prayer and really want to look at this dad in Luke chapter 8 as we consider all the dads in Father's Day. But I believe it's a message for all of us to be encouraged in our relationship with Christ. But would you pray with me, please? Father God, how grateful we are for a Sunday like this to celebrate dads. And Lord, as we even pray to you, we thank you that you are a good, good Father, a loving Father, one that wishes that none should perish, but all come to the saving faith of Jesus Christ. So God, I pray for each person in this room, not only the dads, that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that our souls are saved because what Jesus has done. And if there's any doubt, God, I pray that each and everyone who doubts would just confess themselves to you, their sin, confess their faults to you, and know that you will forgive them and seal them with your Holy Spirit. As we look to this dad in Luke chapter 8, God, I pray that we would glean some powerful truths of how this dad was desperate in his life and who he went to find answers. So bless this time in your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when I read Luke chapter 8 and I think of this man, Jairus, I see a man of desperation. I see a man of love for his child. If you know the story, he has a 12-year-old girl that's on her way to dying. And as a dad, we can all understand. We can all understand the feeling he must have had of desperation. And maybe there's situations in your life where you found yourself in that place. How am I going to find an answer? What is the solution to this unsurmountable trial in my life? And what we're going to see is that Jesus is that answer. And it's so important. A little boy said of Father's Day, "Father's Day is a lot like Mother's Day, except you don't spend as much for the gift." That's so sad, isn't it, guys? I mean, the girls get roses, guys get cookies. I'd rather have a cookie, personally. But it's so true. We spend so much time. I mean, moms do a lot. Let's admit it, right? You know, when I officiate weddings, oftentimes I'll say to the groom, "You know, you're not really necessary, right? You just need to be up here." Most of the time, it's just the men are here, the ladies come down, and the grandeur and the beauty. The guys are already up there. It's like, yeah, get the guys up there. That's fine. But Father's Day, as we think about Father's Day, it's a reminder, again, I've said it in my prayer, of our Heavenly Father, how good he is. And if we truly as dads would seek the face of the Lord, that we would seek God in everything that we do and hear his heart, how much easier or how much more manageable the things in our lives would be if we're truly seeking the Lord. This dad that we're looking at in Luke 8 is a Pharisee, which brings a whole nother level of challenges when it comes to coming to Jesus. I mean, his reputation was at stake. But yet what he cared about more was his family. And if anything this morning, guys, life is hard. You know, our jobs are hard. Our responsibilities are many. But your greatest responsibility is your family. And I know we can remind ourselves of that on Father's Day, but it should be every single day that your thoughts for your children and for your family are always being put before the Lord. God, help me lead my family. For Jairus, again, he had a great need. Have you ever been in your life in a position of great need where you didn't know how to find the answer? And I find in my life we all do it. We seek all these other avenues to find answers for our problems. When God says, "I'm right here, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will what? I will give you rest." Why is God not the first thing we go to in our time of need? Why is it we don't go and fall to our knees? I think sometimes in my life, I'm like, God's busy. He's got a lot going on. But God's a big God, and he can hear every one of our prayers. And so I encourage all of us as dads, when you have a need and a desperate need like Jairus has, that we go to the Lord first and foremost. Any parent who has ever seen a child suffer knows what Jairus is going through. We don't know the disease. We don't even know the girl's name. I mean, we know she's 12 years old and she's at the point of death. And her father goes and seeks Jesus for help. Because he heard about it, maybe he even witnessed some of the miracles that Jesus did. And this is something I want to talk about this morning, is the power of our God, the power of our Savior, the power that is available to us as believers. Do we tap into it as much as we should? I'll submit we don't. We God is almost like the last ditch effort. Well, nothing else worked. Let's try God. I always say flip that around. Try God first. And seek him first, and he'll give you instructions. He'll tell you what to do. Sometimes he'll say, use doctors. Sometimes he'll say, go to this person and find help there. But let's go to him first, amen? Let's read the story. Luke 8, we're picking up in verse 40. And it says, "So it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him." because they heard of the many miracles he had done. Verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now give me your attention. The next few verses are the story of the woman with a flow of blood. It's almost as though it's an interruption to what Jairus' request is. But I also believe it's God's divine purpose to encourage Jairus to believe in a man named Jesus who just healed an old woman. That's what we see in those next verses. But notice number one, Jairus comes to Jesus. Verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. The first thing we must do as dads, and I believe as Christians, is make sure that we go to Jesus first. Just like I've said, go to Jesus first. There's no story, there's no backstory like how long Jairus has been in this situation, how long his daughter's been suffering, how many things he tried. I'm sure he tried doctors. I'm sure he tried the Pharisees, maybe the asking for prayer. And perhaps Jesus wasn't the first thing on his list. But the thing that we must focus on for us is that he at least went to Jesus. Again, I want to remind you of the challenges that it was for Jairus to go to Jesus. This is what they used to think of Jesus. They would say, you know, he was a friend of sinners, prostitutes. The things that he did, everything that he did because of by the power of the devil. That's how the Pharisees felt about Jesus. They wanted to kill him. But Jairus rose above all that, didn't he? He rose above his prejudice. He rose above the challenges between what he believed Jesus was and realized Jesus could help his daughter. That's the faith he began to exercise. And that's the first thing we must do, guys, is exercise our faith in Jesus. Do you believe Jesus can do anything? Do you believe God has the power, listen, to raise the dead? He does. So why is it in the church we find ourselves powerless, so weak? Guys, we serve a God that can do miracles. Shame on us if we say it's not going to happen or that's not going to go our way. Have you given it to God? Have you asked the Lord? God can do anything, and we must believe that. We don't believe it as this to say, God, we're going to tell you what to do. But we should believe it enough that we would come to God and say, God, I've got this going on in my life. Will you help? I know you can help. That's faith. Jairus, again, wasn't too sure about this man named Jesus, but he saw a miracle with the old woman. And he thought, perhaps Jesus will help my daughter. Do you see how powerful love is? How much do we love our children to take them to Jesus? How much do we love our families to make sure they're staying in God's will? Listen, this is a very convicting message for men, because God is the one, God calls us as men to be the ones that are the covering to our families, right? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, who did he go to? He went to Adam. Adam, where are you? Adam, what have you done? Because Adam was responsible. And we can't just raise our hands and say, well, it's just the way it is. I don't know. I can't control my kids. Can't control my wife. No. God looks to us to be the responsible ones. This man was desperate, and he went to Jesus. This shows us that no matter how important you are, no matter how spiritual you are, and how you are never at a place where trouble can't find you, right? We're never in that place as believers. It's nice to know as believers, we have the protection of God, but there's always those things in our lives that happen. So we must be relying upon God. Pain is the great equalizer of the human race. It touches everyone. We've all been touched. We've all experienced pain, maybe even illness, you know? But God is bigger than those things. Pain and suffering draw us closer to God. Because you ever ask yourself, why did God allow this to happen in my life? Why would this happen? I love God. I'm obedient to God. I pray to God. I do the things God tells me. Why would this happen? Because God wants to have a relationship with you. Because God wants you to talk to him. And sometimes he'll allow things to happen in your life so that you'll pay attention. Right? And you want, isn't it you always want your kids to wake up every single day and go, oh, mommy and daddy, how much I love you. It's good to see you this morning. You're laughing because they don't do that, right? But are we any different? Do we wake up every single morning and go, Father God, good morning. I am so glad to be your child. I'm so honored to be filled with your Holy Spirit and to know that you're in my life and I'm in your life. That's the difference. Go to Jesus. Matthew, of this very same story, because it says here in verse 41, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Matthew says he laid prostrate before the Lord and worshiped him. See, even in your greatest need and in the midst of greatest pain, you can still worship the Lord. It's hard. It's hard to worship when your heart's broken. It's hard to worship when you know there's something going on in your child's life. But we must force ourselves to come into the presence of God and worship him. I would hope that when we sing these songs, that it's not just a checklist to get to the message, that it's truly a time for us to worship God and lift our voices to him, whether it being thankful, whether it being dependent upon him, whatever it may be. Do you worship the Lord on a regular basis? Yes, we worship the Lord at church, but do you worship him on Mondays, on your ride to work? Or maybe when you're sitting in front of your computer. Find time to worship the Lord. That will help you get to that place of having a strong relationship with him. If we truly believe God is a God of miracles, if we truly believe God can raise the dead, then why don't we see more miracles in our lives? Why don't we see him in the church? If you've ever read through the book of Acts, it is one of the most exciting books to read, right? Amazing things are happening. People are being healed. Blind people are being able to see. The deaf are being able to hear. The lame are being able to walk. Miracle after miracle after miracle. I believe we're not seeing miracles today because we're not asking God. We're not. And maybe we got to get around other people that believe a little bit more than we do. And to say, will you pray with me and let's believe for God? I can't tell you how many times I've said it when people come forward with a prayer request. I get excited when there's a problem going on in your life. Sounds weird, right? But not because of your problem, but because of the power of God in your life to change your circumstances. 9 times out of 10, I'm praying more for the person's faith to believe in God to answer their prayer than for God, in fact, to answer the prayer. To truly believe God would. People will come forward reluctantly. Well, my wife told me to come up here because my back hurts. But no. If your back hurts, come forward. Let's pray over it. How many things do we allow to just continue to happen in our lives because we're not taking it to the Lord? I believe God sits up in heaven going, I'm here. I have things for you. If you would just ask me. Right? James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. Shame on us for not asking. Let's work together and encourage each other to ask. Are they in the back? Are there prayer request cards back there? Yes. Yeah. I would love to see that box full of prayer request cards so that the staff at Calvary Chapel can be praying for you. Because that gets us excited about praying for you, but then we get to hear about how God answered that prayer. And then we get encouraged to continue to pray. Prayer is such a powerful thing, and I don't think it's being utilized as much as it could be. Well, listen, we'll never get to the place in our lives where we say we pray too much. At the age of 88, Billy Graham said if he could do it all over again, he would pray more. Billy Graham said he had to pray more. I certainly need to pray more, right? We all do. We'll never pray enough. Mm-mm. Is God a priority in your life. Not an afterthought. Not attach the Lord to my stuff. Is he a priority? Is he the first thing we think about? That's what we must do, guys. You know the scripture in Ephesians 6. It says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. We know those verses. But it also says in Ephesians, let me put it up here. Chapter 6, verse 4, it says this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Fathers. Not parents, but fathers. Why does this scripture focus on the fathers and not the parents? The sad part is, most mothers do that, right? The training and admonition of your children, you're bringing up your kids. God speaks it to fathers because you are the head of the house. Because you are to be that leader, that spiritual leader in your home, to be an example to your sons. To be an example to your daughters of what it means to be a godly man. Your job is to make sure your children know the Lord. It's not just the wife's job. Listen, it is the parents' job to do both. But I believe the verse tells us fathers because fathers have a tendency to just let that go, especially in our day. You're at work most of the time. Come home at night, have dinner. Kids are probably already in bed. No, guys, we're the head of our homes. And God looks to us for the training and admonition of our children. The responsibility falls on us as men. Not because we're gifted in it. I'll add that as well. Moms are gifted in it. That's why they do it. But men are called to it because God wants you to be the influencer in your home. Are you the kind of dad that your kids look to and say, he is so reliant upon the Lord. He is so dependent upon Jesus. Your children's view of God has a lot to do when they get older of what their relationship is with you. That's a big responsibility, isn't it? But here's the great thing. It's a huge responsibility, but we have a great example, don't we? Our Heavenly Father is the one we're to follow. Our Heavenly Father is the one that we're to lead after. Just like Jesus shows us and teaches us. Raise them up means to actively and positively nurture your children's maturity. And that starts by seeking Jesus. Look at verse 42 again. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. So in the midst of Jairus taking Jesus to his home, there's this interruption. God's interruptions are always for a reason. God's timing is always perfect, right? It's never our favorite, but it's always perfect. And so for whatever reason, God allows this to happen in his life. There was a delay in the healing of his daughter. And I would imagine at first Jairus is like, doesn't he understand the importance of my request? How many of us have ever said that to the Lord? God, did you not hear me? Did you not realize how important my prayer request is? God's delays are a part of his divine will. And we must be patient. So, We go to Jesus first, but look at verse 41 again. The second thing we see in the second half of that verse, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. As dads, your children need to see you bringing God home. Not just carrying your Bible to church. They need to see you bringing God into the house. Being, again, that spiritual leader that God has called you to be. Jairus was a ruler, and his reputation was at stake. But because of who Jesus was and what he had heard about Jesus, he knew that this controversial figure may be the answer that he needed. And he was able to set all of his prejudices aside and was seeking Jesus for his son's sake. We're to bring Jesus home. I grew up in a home that never really talked about God. We never prayed for meals. There was a picture of Jesus on the wall, but I just thought it was a long-haired guy. Didn't know who it was. Jesus was not in my home. I had a good home. I had loving parents. But they didn't bring God home. Guys, if there's one thing we can do, we can bring God home. Let your kids see your relationship with the Lord. Whether you struggle, whether you're having a hard time, comprehend it, let them know that. If God's answering prayer, let them know that. Let them see your relationship to God, because that'll make it much more easier for them to have a relationship with God. Be that example. Jesus says in Matthew, about, and again, the same thing, that Matthew says, knowing that his daughter is now dead, he goes to Jesus and says, come to my house and lay your hand on her and she will be made well. Jairus says that to Jesus. He has faith in Jesus. Come to my house. She's already been dead. And I believe you can put your hand on her and she will rise again. Because he saw the power of Jesus. So he invites him to the house. That's incredible faith. That's incredible faith. Because if you look at verse 49. While he was still speaking, that after he healed the woman, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, that's Jairus, and said, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father, notice, and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And when they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead, but he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she rose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Do you see the hurdles that Jairus' faith had to jump over? This group of men or these men come and say, your daughter's already dead, don't bother. Even his friends, even his servants didn't believe in Jesus. So that had to cause Jairus' faith to waver just a little bit. Oh, it's too late. Which I would imagine Jairus is thinking, had you not delayed with this old lady, you probably would have been there in time. But Jesus understands our condition. And he looks at Jairus and he says, don't be afraid, only believe. Belief. Belief in Jesus is such a powerful thing. I say it all the time. Time and time again in the healings of Jesus, Jesus often looked at someone and said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has brought you this answer. Our faith is so important. God does not answer your prayers based on how much faith you have, but based on whose faith you have in, correct? If we have faith in Jesus, that's all we need. And this saying that Jesus says is about have faith, believe, and continue to believe. See, our faith can't waver. Our faith in God can't waver. He's someone you can trust. Have you experienced that in your life? That you can trust the Lord? I mean, aren't we glad that sometimes God doesn't cause us to fall? Sometimes God doesn't say, oh, I forgot to turn the sun on today. Or, oops, I forgot to turn the air on today. No, he's faithful. We can depend upon him. And so Jesus is telling this father, you came to me with faith, believing that I could do something. Now continue to believe. And it's in those challenging times. It's in those times when we begin to doubt. It's in those times when someone says, why don't you just give up on that? That we must rely upon our faith that God can if he chooses to. Especially he gives you an answer like he did Jairus. Don't be afraid, Jairus. Only believe. Only believe. Continue to believe in me. That is what you need to bring into your home. Is a strong faith. There are schools filled with kids that are seeking all kinds of other things for sustenance, for sense of purpose. And we have it, a relationship with God. Let's be a generation that passes on faith to our kids. How important that is. And don't think it's unsurmountable. When we look at this society, when we look at the things that are happening in the world, we can get overwhelmed with it. But you know what? Somebody poured their life into Billy Graham. Somebody spoke truth into Pastor Chuck Smith's heart. And look what God did through one man, one child, one person. If we do it one at a time, change our homes, change our perspective. Martin Luther says this, I love this quote. He says, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop them from building a nest in your hair. The reality is, there's a lot of darkness and a lot of evil that's entering into homes all over this world. Through TV, through the internet, through game consoles. A lot of negative things going on. As fathers, as mothers, as Christians, are we making a difference? Are we keeping an eye on those things? My nephew's here. I feel like I turned into a dad in a month. My nephew's living with me. And this message convicts me. Like, what's he doing in there in his room? On his computer? But that's what we have to do, right? Who cares if you're known as a very strict parent? Be a strict parent. Be a loving, strict parent. Doing it in a way that your kids appreciate it. They'll appreciate it later in life. None of us want to be told what to do we, when we're kids? No. I want to do what I want. We know better than our parents, right? Parents are old school. Yeah. I don't know. There's wisdom in having a relationship with God. Satan wants to nest in your home and destroy your home and destroy your children. Don't let him. Don't let him. Lastly and finally, again in verse 50, because Jesus knew that his faith was wavering, he says to him, but when Jesus heard it, he answered and said to him, do not be afraid, only believe, and look at the promise, and she will be made well. She will be made well. When Jesus gets to the home, there's all these mourners, all these people weeping. The scene must have been awful. And we don't even know if maybe the mother was there too at that time. But Jesus has the mom, the dad, Peter, James, and John, those three, brings them inside and does the healing and raises her from the dead because they believed, because they didn't give up. We have to trust Jesus continually, even when things on the outside don't look good. Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time, and you're like, God, I don't understand why I'm not seeing anything change. I'm not seeing anything go on. It's in those trials. It's in those long delays of God that our faith must be strong. And whatever it has to be, whether it's worshiping the Lord, getting your focus off of that thing that's driving you crazy, and getting your focus on God. Your kids want to see that you're trusting in the Lord. That's how we teach them. It doesn't just happen. We don't just tell them, read your Bible or go to church and go to Sunday school and they'll teach you. No, you got to show them by experience. You got to walk through it with them, showing them that you can trust God for the long haul. Eugene Peterson said this, long obedience in the same direction. What kids are going to look up to in their dads is that you've been faithful through the long haul. Through the thick, the thin, the good, the bad, all of it. Be faithful. Be someone that your kids look at and see that you carry your Bible, you read your Bible, you share maybe with your children a devotion. Not necessarily a devotion with them, but your devotion, how God spoke to you. Share that with them. Let it become something that's so natural and simple, part of life. There's so many things we do in our day that is so routine. We got to make God routine. And when I mean routine, I just mean let him be everywhere in your life, in your thoughts, in your actions, in your activities. Invite God in. That's what this generation needs. We need faith that's over fear. And that's what Jesus said to him. Don't be afraid, only believe. I feel like if we can just increase our faith and trust in God a little bit more every single day and keep practicing our faith, we'll see God do amazing things in our lives. Guys, dads, moms, you got hard jobs, but they're not impossible jobs. God doesn't leave you there to do it on your own. He's given you the Holy Spirit to do it, and he's there to speak to you. I want to close with this. 100 years from now, it will not matter what your bank account was, what sort of house you lived in, or what kind of car you drove, but the world may be different because you were important in the life of your child. If you want to have a legacy at the end of your life, let it be that you are a great dad. Let it be that you are a loving father that relied upon Jesus. Because if you can be that example, your kids will follow along. Kids follow the examples of their parents, or they follow examples of other people in their life. Make sure you're being that influence for your kids. I always see, whenever I think about that, I always see that little kid with a plastic lawnmower walking next to his dad cutting grass. He's not doing anything to help dad, but he wants to be just like his dad. If your kid wants to be just like you, would you be proud of him when he's your age? Would you be proud of him when he's your age? Time's ticking. Invest in your kids. Train them up in the ways of the Lord. And let's see this next generation be a generation filled with faith that believes in Jesus and believes in the miracles of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. How grateful we are, Lord, for a man like Jairus, who despite everything and every obstacle that was in his way, he still got to you. God, you are an approachable God. We don't have to jump through hoops to get to you. At any moment of every day, we can spend time with the King, with the Creator of this world. And through Jesus, we have access to the Holy of Holies, that we can spend time face to face with God. So God, I pray that you would increase our faith here today to be more reliant on you. And none of us has a lot of time left at the end of a day. But Lord, I pray that we would all, throughout our day, stop and think of you and pray to you and talk to you and seek your face. That you would be real and alive in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our church. And finally, God, that we would be a people that trust in you, even when everything on the outside looks like it's impossible and our answer isn't coming, you're still not done working. So God, I ask again, a blessing over every dad and over every Christian here this morning, that you would hear their hearts, that you would answer their prayers, and that you would do amazing things in their midst. To you be the glory, honor, and praise. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.